Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin and speak with a prominent Chinese dissident who is urging Secretary Clinton to visit Chiang Guangcheng in Beijing to ensure his safety. Bei Ling, an exiled Chinese poet and essayist and the founder of the Independent Chinese Pen Center, joins us along with Scott Savitt, a former Beijing-based foreign correspondent for the Los Angeles Times and United Press International. Then we'll get an analysis of President Obama's exit strategy from Afghanistan and the extent to which it does not conform with the reality on the ground. Christine Fair, a former UN political officer who served in Afghanistan, joins us to discuss what was not said about relations with Pakistan and what will happen to the massive amounts of military materiel when the US starts its exit in 2014. Then finally, we will speak with singer-songwriter Jackson Brown about his music and politics and how he navigates between the worlds of entertainment and activism. Jackson Brown, along with a roster of great musicians, will be appearing at the KPFK Hero Awards and tribute to Gil Scott-Heron. And joining us now is Bei Ling, who's an exiled Chinese poet and essayist and the founder and executive director of the Independent Chinese Pen Center, and Scott Savitt, who is a former Beijing-based foreign correspondent for the Los Angeles Times and United Press International. His forthcoming memoir is on his two decades as an American reporter in China. Starting with you, Scott, you and Bei Ling are old friends. You're the same age, and you were both jailed and kicked out of China at the same time. Is that right?
Correct.
So give me a little bit, fill me in a little bit on what happened.
I guess you could say we're both veterans of the Tiananmen Square protests. We were in our 20s at that time, and after those events, we both started independent publications. I started the first weekly independent newspaper in China, in Beijing, and Bei Ling started a literary journal, and we were both jailed for illegal publishing.
And Bei Ling, you have written an article at CNN, Hillary Clinton Must Visit Chiang Guangcheng. Tell me about your relationship with your fellow Chinese dissident, Chiang Guangcheng.
Personally, I do not, connection with Mr. Chiang Guangcheng directly. But I'm 100% focused and follow whole situation, especially since he, in 20 months ago, in house arrest in his hometown, his house. So it's very terrible, and it's a very, very difficult situation with he and his family, and especially, if in far away in countryside, the local security and the local police, they beat him, and he's in a terrible situation. So I think he's decided, leaving and some small group help him from Shandong. It's very far. I think so. It's they are, they can drive in car arrive to Beijing. I'm still think it's the American embassy letting him in and give his medical care and give his, it's a stay. That's 100%. It's this basic human rights. It's a decision.
Well, it seems there's a lot of conflicting information about the decision. The State Department, Gary Locke, the ambassador, and the Assistant Secretary of State, Kirk Campbell, seem to be saying that he didn't want to go to the United States. He didn't want to defect. He wanted to stay in China. And now we're hearing through the BBC and through CNN that Chen and wants his family out of China. What's your understanding, Bei Ling?
That's very important because he cannot get all information since he's arrived in he's in American embassy in Beijing, and he do not know his wife and his children and his relative, his brother and brother's children, the son, together, it's abused, beat, and whole family, it's things he's running out. it's kind of very, very bad. It's the beat and get hurt and all, you know, and the situation.
Sure.
After he know all things, I think that he should change his decision. He know if he's still in China, they probably do not have his two things very important. One is his freedom. This freedom, like my op-ed piece mentioned, and that freedom means he can, you know, have a basic freedom. Also, his family cannot live in, you know, it's a very scary situation. So he changed. But I still think that's a part of responsibility and they have to, you know, it's American embassy have to take. And I do not know the 6 days why he cannot get all information. Because in my part of, and I'm through a website, through media, and can get all the situation after he's running, you know, after his 6 days ago. I mean, he thinks he's leaving yesterday, he's, you know, it's out of embassy. This whole situation, very easy in Beijing embassy, they have a Chinese employee. They can open website, can read it and tell him his family, the whole situation after he's leaving. But the whole situation, just he met his wife in hospital or in going to hospital on the street, you know, it's the car. He can know all situation.
Mm-hmm.
And second thing, the spend night, that means it's yesterday's whole night and May and this whole night in hospital, and American embassy promised some people have to with him together. But leave in his room, probably whole night and nobody visiting him. Also, he call American embassy, need some urgent support. Nobody pick up phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel questions. I feel this is very unusual, including why he do not have any an American embassy employee or officer's private mobile phone number. He only can call embassy for general phone number.
Sure.
His situation very dangerous. It's American embassy have to have 100% responsibility after he send his out of, you know, its embassy. They need, he can anytime urgent phone call. Later, his phone cut off. That situation makes his 100%, he cannot feel he has a safe situation.
Sure. Well, let me bring, again, I'm speaking with Bei Ling, who's an exiled Chinese poet and essayist and founder and executive director of Independent Chinese Pen Center. And also we have Scott Savitt, the former Beijing-based foreign correspondent for the Los Angeles Times and United Press International. Scott, can you give us some clarity on this confusing situation where there are very, very mixed signals? The U.S. State Department is suggesting that Chen didn't want to defect to the United States and wanted to stay in China, and some kind of agreement was made with the Beijing authorities who would somehow restrain the local authorities in Shandong province who have been persecuting Chen. And now, as Bei Ling has just said, it doesn't look like they've given him any support. They haven't shown up at the hospital when they said they would. They haven't provided him with a cell phone that could reach them directly without having to go through the embassy switchboard, etc. Can you fill us in on this, try and clarify some of this confusion?
I've just received a text message from Mr. Chen via a friend of his as we're conducting this interview. So this is the most up-to-the-moment information is Chen says, and, you know, presuming this is reliable, but I fully assume that it is. These are the people who helped him escape. And he says that it's a big misunderstanding. Basically, you know, he thanks the U.S. Embassy for all their efforts. He recognizes what a difficult situation and, how hard it was to negotiate with the Chinese side on such short notice. And, you know, what Bei Ling said about not having information while he was in the embassy, that's a legitimate question. But I think I've spent a little more time in the U.S. Embassy in Beijing than Bei Ling has. And, you know, when someone takes refuge there, number one, you can't have them have access to the Chinese employees because it's a security risk. And there are good reasons why he would have been extremely isolated under those circumstances. And he came out, he saw his wife and children, and found out that the people who had been keeping them under house arrest followed them to Beijing and threatened his wife's life. So I think if any of us put ourselves in that position, it might change your attitude. And all he said is that he has an invitation to study law at New York University, and he hopes to take up that invitation and, you know, return to China and continue his work. So that's the most up-to-date information that as far as I know.
And in Beiling's call for Secretary of State Clinton to meet with Chen and his wife and family, is that likely to happen?
Yeah, I'm 100% possible can happen.
I
really want to hear Li Ken, you know, maybe after his, you know, whole day's conference meeting and discussion with the official Chinese, you know, delegation. And he can come in any time, maybe after dinner, or he can, you know, just visiting. I think so. Until now, he's in hospital. Chinese government cannot reject Secretary Clinton, you know, visiting him. This visiting just gave a very clearly message. American government has responsibility to take care and watch and worry his situation. That's very important.
Yeah, jump in, Scott.
So the CNN op-ed that you read, basically, this was, you know, later than this time yesterday. They contacted us, so, you know, Beiling wrote it in Chinese. I translated it into English, and, you know, I had no idea what he was going to say. But when he called for Hillary Clinton, I thought, you know, it was a brilliant idea. And the U.S. holds all the cards now. I mean, they've got, you know, Hillary Clinton is very well known in China. Not only is she Secretary of State, but, you know, she's the beloved Bill Clinton's wife. And they don't dare to refuse her. So this could happen. I mean, who knows if it will happen or not, but this is how the impasse could be broken. If she exerted, and from what we know about what's gone on since he made his, you know, miraculous escape, they're calling it the Shawshank Redemption in China, you can be certain that there is frenzied negotiation going on behind the scenes even now. So everybody jumping to conclusion, I think we all need to take a deep breath and recognize that there's going to be some more unforeseen outcomes to this, and give everybody a little bit of the benefit of the doubt.
But isn't there a tremendous gulf between what we are talking about here in the Western media and what the Chinese people know about this? They've never heard of Cheng Guangcheng, have they?
A lot of people know who he is.
He's out of he's in embassy and out. Because now it's a new media in China, it's difficult, you know, they block everything. I think that still, it's, you know, they have another, you know, opportunity. They use the program, can be broke. This, you know, it's the censorship wall in internet. I think so. It's more and more people, or I should say, never had, like now, I think that have maybe 20 or 30% Chinese, you know, it's internet reader. They already know whole situation. I call all my friends in China, people, they all know the situation. Maybe do not like us, know every, you know, detail.
Mm-hmm.
But Chen Guangcheng is already like it's the most well-known its name in this 2 weeks.
Just a second, Scott, go ahead.
Yeah, the reason that people know about him is because his work was publicized by the Chinese government. He was held up as a hero for his, you know, this blind barefoot lawyer, they call him. And, you know, he was emboldened by this. And then he stepped over the invisible line. And, you know, the real difficulty is China's having a leadership succession right now. And he was being persecuted by local officials 500 miles from Beijing. And, you know, some people think that the Communist Party leadership sitting in Beijing, they can just pull, you know, a string. And it really doesn't work that way. These locals have significant autonomy, and it's not to say that someone couldn't have reached in and protected him, and that's why this deal with the embassy, it's fairly unprecedented, but there are a lot of unprecedented things going on in China right now. So it was, you know, that's why people are so interested by this, because it's all groundbreaking. And, you know, all I can say is, I hope for an auspicious outcome for everybody involved.
Well, Beiling's just told us that about 30% of, I think he said 30% of the country has an internet use, and they're very aware of what's happening. Obviously, it's not in the media in China. It's not in the newspapers. It's not on television.
On the internet.
It's on the internet. So just to finish up with Scott, what understanding do the Chinese people have, do you think, of this diplomatic crisis, if indeed it is one?
Well, it's more than 30% saturation, by the way. I mean, China has the largest internet population with, you know, smartphones. There's more than 500 million people online. And, you know, that's a lot of people. So you have, you know, varying degrees. Some people are following it nonstop. Some people are following while they go on with their lives. But you can be certain when it's such headline news over here that a critical mass of Chinese are aware of this. And but this is pure speculation. You know, this is a brave new world. It's not easy to ascertain these things. But my sense is people are paying attention, and it's going to have an influence on the outcome.
And Beiling, have you tried in any way to get a message to Secretary Clinton?
No, until now, I do not get directly, you know, information. And I really want, you know, it's through CNN website, it's, you know, American Embassy in Beijing, they can immediately send this suggestion to you know, Hillary Clinton. So because I think she only have 2 nights stay in Beijing. So that means
I bet she saw his op-ed. I met Secretary of State Clinton in Beijing, and they read the internet as well. So I think maybe one of her aides may have shown her his opinion piece.
This is the most challenging and the most important moment for her. Because this is a big damage for American, you know, human rights and foreign, you know, policy in this case happening, especially in her, you know, in Beijing moment. She has to very clearly know this is the most important things for her. She has to figure out this problem.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the general impression is so far that the American State Department has not handled this well. So even from the bureaucratic point of view, she's going to have to do something, let alone from the human rights point of view, one would think.
Pull a rabbit out of the hat. Let's see.
Okay. Well, Scott, any last word here from you? We're wrapping up now.
Yeah, I just want to make a little bit of correction, because I say it's an embassy, you know, employee, means a Chinese employee. I think so it's in Beijing embassy has to have some people speak a foreign and a reading foreign Chinese, an American citizen employee in there. They already passed a security, you know, check. They really have to every day tell Mr. Chen Guangchen new situation, you know, what's happening. Only, you know, just every day, you know, every, you know, few hours reading, you know, internet tells him, his family, what's happening or something.
Sure.
That's, you know, in our media, in Chinese media, have so many of this new information. So it's, that means he's in American Embassy in Beijing, that means have to get all information freedom. This, I do not understand.
Sure, just finish up quickly, Scott. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, just in response to that, you know, Bailey and I will talk about it later, is the U.S. Embassy had a dissident in 1989. Professor Conley Drew and his wife, they stayed for a year in the embassy. What Bailey doesn't understand is when someone like this guy comes into the embassy, he is placed in a secure area. He cannot have interaction with anyone. Bailey's not understanding the security procedures that are required in that place, and that's the reason for it. And that's why people are judging what was done and not understanding the seriousness of someone entering a U.S. diplomatic compound and, you know, discussing whether to seek asylum or not. That's something that people need to educate themselves about. That's a, you know, that's a very unusual and very, especially in a communist country. So.
Right. Well, look, I think we got that cleared up, and I thank both of you for joining us here today. Bei Ling, again, the exiled Chinese poet and essayist and the founder and executive director of Independent Chinese Pen Center, and Scott Savitt, a former Beijing-based foreign correspondent for the Los Angeles Times and United Press International, and he has a forthcoming memoir on his two decades as an American reporter in China. And the article we're talking about that Bei Ling has written for CNN is available at CNN. Hillary Clinton must visit Chen Guangcheng. And let's hope she got the message. I thank both of you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Yeah.
We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan and what they're going to be leaving behind.